if you would turn to your Bibles to Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, beginning at the 4th verse. Jeremiah 29, beginning at the 4th verse. It is so good to see each and every one of you. Jeremiah 29, beginning at the 4th verse. Here is the reading of the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. One translation says increase and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let the prophets and the diviners who are among you deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams that they dream, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a hope, a future and a hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Whew. All right. So we've been in this Jeremiah journey here for a couple of weeks now. Last week we ended with talking about how some of the people in Jerusalem, I ain't gonna get into all the wars again, y'all, if you watched last week, if you missed. But at the end of Nebuchadnezzar coming back and taking over Jerusalem, there were parts of Judah who surrendered to Nebuchadnezzar and went back with him to Babylon. And then there's others. Remember, we talked about the artisans. We talked about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Ezekiel. They were all taken back to Babylon. But then there were those who stayed, even though God told them, the people not to stay, and that the people who were gone into Babylon, that he would take care of them. So this is where we are in the text. We are at the point now where there are still people in Jerusalem, in Judah, and then there are those who have gone back to Babylon under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. And so in this text, again, Nebuchadnezzar has taken control of Judah, and he has deposed Jehoiakim from Judah's throne and replaced him with his son Zedekiah. And as part of controlling or having ownership over Jerusalem now, Nebuchadnezzar is forcing them to pay a tax. So they have to pay them, you know, annually, monthly, it doesn't say, but they have to pay them a tax or a tariff, or what they would call it in the Bible, they call it a tribute, which sounds very old school. Anyway, and so in this passage, what's happening is that they some theologians believe that Zedekiah has created or made these prophets stand up and prophesy to the people who are in exile in Babylon, and told them, "Hey, this is not going to last long. Our God is going to quickly deliver us." And Jeremiah hears about this, and he gets a word from the Lord to send prophets to Babylon when they're going to pay their tribute to tell them, wait a second, that's not the case. The Lord says, the word of the Lord says, this is where we are and where we are in this text, that we will be here for 70 years. And until we pass through this 70 years, the Lord is not going to visit us. Now, this isn't my first point, but I want to throw this in here. That we have to be careful about the words that we receive. Amen? We live in a time and we live in a season where because there are so many things that are happening, because there's so much happening, because there's so much bad happening, we have to be careful that every word, every prophetic word, that we don't grab on to just because it sounds good. I know y'all ain't gonna say amen to that, but amen anyway. I am sure that the exiles, those who are in Babylon, hearing Zedekiah's prophets tell them, hey, it won't be long, don't worry about it. Hold on, God's gonna give you double for your trouble. Y'all know that one, right? Don't worry, God is gonna give you, you know, he's gonna hurry up and get you. God's gonna send you a car and a new house, and I hear the word of the Lord saying that he's gonna get you out of this. And I'm sure, because I would have wanted to hear that if I was in exile, that they were excited. But every good word is not a God word. And I think that we have to be careful. We have to discern. We have to have our ears really tuned in into what people are saying to us, because there are some things that God's not saying that people will say that God said. And so just because it's good, I want y'all to say this, say just because it's good does not mean that it's God. All right, here we go. So knowing that the damage that the words of the prophets of Zedekiah's message would have to the long-term welfare of Israel, Jeremiah sends the word of the Lord telling them to build houses and live there, to plant gardens and eat what they produce, to take wives and have sons and daughters, to take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. He tells them to multiply there and do not decrease. And then he says to seek the welfare of the city and pray to the Lord on its behalf, because in the welfare of the city, you will find your welfare. Okay. So Jeremiah is telling them, instead of spending your energy working on a plan of escape, instead of spending time hoping that something is going to hurry up and get you out of this mess, the Lord actually wants you in the midst of Babylon to build a system inside of their system that will allow you to flourish in the middle of this unfamiliar land. As the Lord reminded us last week, sometimes our situations don't always look like we are blessed, but when we are obedient to the word of God, then we can rest assured that even in an unfamiliar land, that the presence and the power and the blessing of God is with us. And some of us need to affirm that within ourselves, because some of us are in spaces right now that aren't comfortable and don't feel like God is with us, or don't even sometimes feel like God. Anybody feel like that sometimes? God's, you're not even talking to me. Like, I'm praying and I'm fasting and I'm leaning on you, and it seems like you're silent in a time, in a space where things are unfamiliar. God, it seems like I'm in a new place, or a place where don't nobody know me. I'm in a place where I don't have a job. All my kids are now gone. And God, I'm in this new space in my life, and you're not talking. And the word of the Lord for that is that just because you are in an unfamiliar place does not mean that God's presence is not with you. It doesn't mean that God's presence is not with you. It doesn't mean that God's anointing is not there, that God's provision, but he wants you to understand that when we are obedient to God's word, that even in unfamiliar places, we can flourish. But can I tell you that just as being obedient to God in unfamiliar places leads us to flourishing, that disobedience to God does the exact opposite. And often it is due to our disobedience that we become confused and unstable in our relationship with the Father. Where we find, anytime we find manipulation or control or misuse or mistreatment of people, anytime we find brokenness or witchcraft or disobedience to God, we will always find confusion. Disobedience is sin, and our sin corrupts our communication with the Father. Look across history. Anytime we see oppressive regimes or manipulative dictators, anytime we see mistreatment of people or we see manipulation of truth, we see chaos and confusion. The words we find from Zedekiah's prophets that he's giving to Israel are words that sound good, whereas the words Jeremiah gives sounds like God. God's words are not always the words we want to hear, but they are always the words that we need to hear. The words of Jeremiah actually should sound very similar or sound very, very normal to those who are hearing this in this time. Here is why. Deuteronomy 25 says that the officer, shall say to the army, has anyone built a new house and not yet begun to live in it? Let him go home. Or he may die in battle and someone else may begin to live in it. Has anyone planted a vineyard and not begun to enjoy it? Let him go home, or he may die in battle and someone else enjoy it. Has anyone become pledged to a woman and not married her yet? Let him go home, or he may die in battle and someone else marry her. So hearing this word from Jeremiah's prophets, the people during that time would have heard this, and because in that time, when you were early enough to hear and early enough to talk, the Torah was given to you and you would begin to learn from the Torah. So to hear this Deuteronomy passage would have been normal for them. As a matter of fact, one way that they learned is they would give a child the end of a scroll and they would put honey on it and give the child the scroll, and the child would begin to put that part of the scroll into their mouth. So that's why we have the passage of scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So from about the age of 5 years old, this would have been normal. They would have known, oh, wait a second, we've heard this before, and we know what this passage means. This sounds just like something God has told us before. But because they were already in a state of disobedience, some people chose not to want to hear what the word of God says. They became so intoxicated in the ways and in the worship and in the world outside that was not of God, that when something was said to them that sounded like what God had been saying, all of a sudden it sounded foreign. Y'all know about that? Anybody ever been in that space? And because they're not the only, don't think they're the only ones. How many of us can admit that in our lifetime we've fallen for some foolishness because it sounded good or it looked good? Yeah, thank you. Thank you for being honest. I appreciate you. We done bought cars that we didn't have no business buying. Lord, I would tell y'all about the time I bought a car And it didn't work out so well, but nevertheless, God is faithful. Amen. I did. I was like, Lord, I just believe that you're going to do it, knowing I ain't had the money for it, but I was going to do it anyway. So instead of being faithful to what God has told us to do, many of us have fallen into foolishness that just look good. And instead of being committed, some of us, if you could have our, to say that we have been non-committed to places that didn't feel good. Some of us are working at jobs that we're like, God, I wish you would hurry up and get me out of here. God, how come you won't hurry up and get me out of this place? God, I wish you would hurry up and get, but God is like, no, I planted you there for a reason in this season of your life because I wanted you to give me glory in this place that you don't like. But God, I need more money. No, I've planted you in this place, in this season of your life, to do the thing that I have called you to do. And we're steady going, but God, that don't make sense. And God's like, no, you need to be obedient to what I am trying to tell you in this place, because I can't put you back in another place until you finish the assignment in the place that you had. I don't know who that was for. That ain't even in my notes, but amen, that was for somebody. All right, thank you. All right, so here is the thing. When this happens, we actually have the audacity to believe that God is punishing us. God is punishing us, and we're the ones who are being disobedient. Like in the text, Judah is disobedient, but feeling like God is punishing us. But I need to tell somebody the truth. The truth is that God is not punishing you. Most of the time, God is using the results of our disobedience to prepare us for the purpose that he intended for us in the first place. I'm going to say that again for those who let that go. Most of the time, God is using the results of our disobedience to prepare us for the purpose that he had for us in the first place. God is so sovereign and he is so omniscient that even in our disobedience and in our non-compliance, he is working those together for our good. Our communication with God is most effective when we are in close proximity of God. So sin and shame and condemnation, they push us, like they did in Genesis, to hide from God and compromise our hearing from God. So what was a relationship where we could walk around in the cool of the garden and commune with God turns into a relationship where we are hiding and taking the leaves and covering ourselves because we are ashamed. God desires for us to have clear communication and sin clouds our communication. And this doesn't just affect our relationship with God, but it translates into our relationship with one another. This is why it is difficult for us to be unified. This is why the plan of the enemy is always to divide and to conquer. And many of us are confused because we think that God's blessing is in a place. Yeah, you know, we think that God's blessing is in a place, but really, God's blessing is on a people that he has prepared a place for. And because God's people are in a place, that place is where God's blessing resides. Y'all missed that one? That's fine. I understand we tired this morning. That's good. This is why, as parents, this is why God gave you the child that he gave you. Because he knew that because you were there, that child would be blessed. This is why God planted you in the city that he planted you in, because he knew that that city needed you in order for that city to be blessed. This is why God planted you at the job that God planted you, because he knew that that company would be blessed because of your presence. This is why you are at the school that you are at, because that school is blessed because of you. And imagine if we treated our everything around us like that. If you walked into work and said, listen, y'all might want to treat me a whole, little bit better because y'all know y'all making all this money because I'm here, right? How would that change how we approach work? How would it change us if we approach our school, if we said, y'all, I know this might be a Christian school, but you know, y'all blessed because I'm here. You know, my presence is what brings the blessing of God on this school. And reality is that is the truth because God wants to plant us there. And if we have that understanding, then instead of going into the spaces that God has given us and being downtrodden or feeling beat up, we would walk in authority. We would walk in the kingdom authority that God has given you and I, and we would look at the things that are not right or the systems that are not right and begin to use that authority so that even though this is an unfamiliar place, we recognize that God's blessing and God's hand is upon it because God's people are present. This is why God said that he would protect Israel, because just like God will protect Israel, he will protect us. Just like God said that he wanted Israel to plant, how do you think they lasted so long? Because God, when God's planting is in a place and it reaches the entire area that it's in, that's why when God says that he'll make a way out of no way, he does that because his presence is with you. If you wonder why your family is surviving, it's because God's blessing is on it when we are obedient. It is because of that that he keeps us in perfect peace when we keep our mind stayed upon him. When God's people are unified under God's protection, we are safe from the trouble of those who choose to live in disobedience. So even in a place where it seems like we are outnumbered, the Bible says that we are not, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. This is why you can go into places and all of a sudden at your presence, all of a sudden everybody just starts to look at you. You ever been someplace and they're like, I don't know who you are, but something is different about you. It's because people can see the presence and the power and the anointing of God in your life. This is why we don't walk and with our heads down, or we don't walk around, but we say, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Because we understand that when we are unified as a people, when the body of Christ is together, then even in unfamiliar places, the presence and the power of God are with us. Somebody say amen. Y'all quiet. All right, that's good. That's good. Here is my last point is this, is that this passage is not just a passage for Israel, but God calls us to be his Israel today. So when we decided to make Jesus our Lord and Savior, we are adopted into Israel. God called us to live in this fallen world, which is a modern day Babylon. And instead of us trying to wait until the great by and by, or instead of us trying to say some glad morning when this, y'all know the life is over, I'm going to fly away. That's the truth. But, you know, or saying that, hey, we just got to suffer a little while and say, well, I got my ticket. So as long as I got my ticket. No. God is saying that, listen, that I've called you to flourish now. I have called and designed for you to have authority now, that even in the midst of Babylon, in an oppressive system, even in the midst of a people who choose to segregate, I am going to let them see with you in the middle of them what it is like to flourish having me as king. I want them to see that I am not like the gods of Babylon, that I am not like the gods of Ashtaroth or Baal. I am the God who created the heavens and the earth. And because you have me in you, then you can plant and build, that you can build something in the midst of that, that you don't have to be in your homeland to have your God flourish you. You don't have to be in a place that is familiar to you, because there is no space that can contain me, that there is no city that can hold me, but I am God all by myself. And because I said, let there be light, and there was light, even in the midst of Babylon, I can make sure that you are flourishing. This is why the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. This is why he tells us that we can go and into the enemy's camp and put the devil under our feet. This is why he says that, behold, I have given you serpents and scorpions, and you have power over all the works of the enemy. This is why he says that we might be perplexed on every side, but we are not abandoned. We might be, but we're not destroyed. It is because even if we are surrounded by enemies, we have a God who is greater than any enemy, any earthly enemy that the enemy can put on us. So he is telling us that because you are my Israel today in the midst of Babylon, because you are unified for the purpose of building my kingdom, that there is no thing that can withhold you. That as long as you have the faith, the grain the size of a mustard seed, that you can say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. That even if it is sickness or disease, that you don't have to succumb, because I am the God who sits on the throne of the universe, and the heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. I command everything to happen with a word. This is why he tells us that I want you to flourish in unfamiliar places. Now I feel like preaching. Somebody, I wish I had a B flat right there. That's good. Jesus calls us to build his kingdom and show Babylon how it is supposed to operate. Jesus has called us to teach others outside of his kingdom what his love looks like in comparison to the love of the world. Jesus has called us to build kingdom relationships that don't conform to this world, but are transformed by the renewing of their mind. Oh, I forgot to tell y'all something. So that Deuteronomy 20 passage that I read for you earlier, that passage of scripture is where God is showing Israel how to be excused from war. He's telling them that if you do these things in the midst of war, that you will be excused from the battle. And I know y'all just went all over your head. Here is the context for us. When we are obedient in the midst of Babylon and build and plant and give our daughters, as the text says, over, then we are excused from the war. Why are we excused from the war? Because the Spirit of God wars on our behalf, and we don't have to fight because God fights for us. There was this thing that happened on Calvary where Jesus was crucified and laid in a tomb for 3 days. And when he got up, the Bible says he got up with all power in his hand. Y'all remember that? That means that even though that we are in the midst of Babylon, we're not the ones doing war, because the victory has already been given to us in Jesus Christ. It means that we just have to walk in the Spirit and walk and let the Spirit of God do war for us. So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against principality. We take dominion over the works of the enemy. We don't have to fight. We just have to let God do battle for us. And when we are obedient to the word of God, then he unleashes his power over the land that is around us. And he says, I'm going to allow you to walk and to live in victory. I'm going to show you and show those around you what it is like to have a God who loves you, to have a God who will come down through the generation, who will send his son and die for you so that you and I can live in flourishing, so that you and I can redeem the world, so you and I can be those who are light in darkness, who are salt to a place that needs salt, that we can be the people of God who bless others and not curse them, that we can be the people who tell them that you don't have to be bound anymore because Jesus came, and when Jesus came, he came that you will have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came so that we would flourish in the unfamiliar. Anybody want to flourish in unfamiliar? Anybody besides me in unfamiliar places and unfamiliar spaces? Anybody besides me is wondering, God, I don't know what you're doing with me in this space. Well, God is saying, I've got you there so you can flourish. I've got you there so you can show them my power and you can show them what it means to be in relationship with me. You're there. I've got you right where you're supposed to be so you can just let me unleash me and let me show them what it means to walk with the greater one. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, God has called each of us to flourish in an unfamiliar place. And when God calls us to that, it means that God wants to show himself strong and mighty in the lives of his people. Amen. Amen. Flourish in the unfamiliar. Don't allow what it looks like to make you think that God is not with you and that God's presence and God's power is not for you. God has you right where he wants you so that he can get the glory out of your life. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you and we love you. Father, we thank you that God, that you have called us and reminded us that, Father, that even in unfamiliar lands and even in around unfamiliar people, even around things that seem strange to us, that you have still let your power and your presence and your anointing and your gifting, that you, Lord God, still say that, Lord, even in those places, Father, that you know the thoughts that you have towards us, Father. And so we thank you. We thank you that, God, that you are with us and that you are for us. Now, God, we pray, Father, that there is any place in our lives where we are walking in disobedience, Father, that you would speak to us, Father. That, Lord, that we would be aligned perfectly with you in our daily existence. Father, because we love you. And, Father, because we adore you, there is none like you. And, Father, there is none beside you. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.